Mini episode 621 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hi, everybody. If your favorite football talkers in all the universe, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here for the FDH Lounge. Mini episode 621. It's NFL Week 7. We are here to break it down for you. Last week, in looking at all the games, a card that I really hated, this goes to show that it doesn't matter if I love or I hate a card. I've been in the same range the last couple weeks regardless. I kind of liked last week's card, actually, as I look back on it. I was 6-7-1, so what do I know? 1-2, I'm a big 3-0-1 overall. I am 49-40-2 for the season overall. 11-7, I'm a big 3. Shockingly, only a 3-3 on my lock picks thus far this year. Kyle, 1-3 last week, but still a nice, profitable 19-14 for the season. Looking forward to a great week 7 here, K-Dog.
Yeah, first losing week of the year. Sunday just did not go well, did it? And there's nothing more frustrating than when you kind of go back and do an autopsy of the week and see what happened to the lay of the land, and you see that home dogs went 5-1 against the number, and he came out with a losing week. Usually that should have been better for me, but ironically, the one win was a home dog Thursday night. Love that one. But I don't think I'll be going on a road favorite again anytime soon after the fine Baltimore Ravens let me down. So yeah, we're back at it again for week 7, and I'm ready to go. Don't like this card either, second week in a row. Don't like this one. I know. It was funny when you said you didn't like it at the top, because I remembered you saying that you kind of did, and for me, it was the first card all year that I really didn't like, and truth be told, I was on to something. So more plays than four this week. Last week, I had a season-low 4 plays and had a season-worst 1-3 record. I'm back up to 6, which was kind of the standard number that I was doing most weeks, and we shall see. We shall see.
All right.
No one game that I love. I know that, though.
Okay, yeah. This card, it's weird. For me, it's top-heavy. I'm fine with my big 3. I'm fine with another isolated one game or so. Beyond that, not too thrilled with the assortment that we have here, but I will do the best I can muddling through. On the bye this week, Chicago, Cincinnati, Denver, Green Bay. As is the case when we go to tape these on Tuesday, which is the case this week, no USA Today Sports Weekly, so no guide as to where the announcers are for this week. And also, too, just to say, too, perhaps people should be a little kind to us. We are really shooting in the dark vis-a-vis major injuries this early in the week. A lot of things don't come out till later in the week. So if it seems like I'm asking to be graded on the curve, I guess it's because I am. So just putting it out there, be kind, people. But as we start with the Thursday night game. I do know this will be CBS and the NFL Network, Nance Sims-Wolfson on the call. This is going to be Seattle, and what they hope for is a bounce-back spot at San Francisco. Seattle had started off laying 4.5. It is now up to 6. Again, this is emblematic of why I don't like the card this week. I'm going to stay on Seattle, even though probably all the value has been sucked out of them. But sometimes you just have to take a look at the big picture. If you really think the 49ers are going to have a better record than the Seahawks after 7 weeks of the season, you need to have your head examined. Seattle due for a major, major course correction after the last couple of weeks. San Francisco, after that god-awful fluky win over Baltimore, both wins they've had this year, they should just be ashamed of themselves. But, again, I think Seattle gets it done here. in this spot here. I'll take them to cover.
A couple things. One, I want to go back, actually, a macro comment here for any new listener to the show who may be confused by the divergent paths you and I use to accumulate our records. I think we need to explain that sometimes. You will, of course, offer a pick on every game, track that record. You, of course, at the end of the show, do your big three, and then your top pick, which is a.k.a. your lock. I, never one to follow the rules, will only give out the plays that I like and will then cowardly offer reasons why I'm not picking some games. So just in case you're new to the show, there you have it. This is why I'm going to be a coward. I'm going to be a coward. I think you kind of, if you were going by my rules, you would be too. Seattle's obviously the knee-jerk play. They are, by the way, 7-0 against the number the last seven meetings with the Niners, and that's with Jim Harbaugh coaching, not Jim Tomsula. The 49ers, they did play better than the opposition in their two wins. It's not like it was a game where they were outgained 2-1 and were plus five in turnovers. Now, last week they did have an edge in turnovers against Baltimore, but they did move the ball. Colin Kaepernick has looked better the last 2 weeks, and that's just got me a little bit scared here. Plus, you know, Thursday night road team laying points? Nuh-uh. Seattle, one thing I want to focus on this week, Ricky, as we move through the games, I went down yesterday and I charted how many times a team has been has won the total yardage battle in a game as opposed to lost it. It's not the end-all be-all stat. I mean, garbage time can kind of skew those numbers, obviously, but I think it's kind of a good way to focus. And Seattle has been, in fact, outgained in all four losses. Their defense, you've heard it, I'm sure, have blown fourth-quarter leads in all those games. So I'm staying off the Seahawks here. I'd be really nervous to lay this many points on the road Thursday night where anything can happen.
Well, yeah, and that's what I said. I think a lot of the value has been sucked out. But, again, yeah, gun to my head, I still go Seahawks because I'm convinced they're going to win the game. We will skip over the first ever game on Yahoo Sunday morning. Hint, that's going to figure in my big three. That takes us to on Sunday. It's the Browns at the Rams, and St. Louis is laying 5.5 up from 4 initially. It has just kind of kept going up and up. Something that I lamented on Sunday, watching the games on Red Zone with you here at Casa de Riccio, is the fact that the Browns, again, and I choose to define things the way I choose to define them. That was a backdoor cover because they were never going to beat the Broncos. If it's a cheap cover, I'm just going to call it a backdoor one, regardless of what Webster's Dictionary might say. But again, and I said to you, not even realizing the Browns had the Rams next week, I remember saying to you, the Browns are Rams Jr. in terms of doing whatever they shouldn't do to the gambling public. And here they are playing each other this week. So for the first time ever, I'm flipping a coin because I would take the Rams in this one. I think Todd Gurley's going to run for about 350 yards on this underachieving, horrible Browns defense. I want to go on the Rams, but I'm deferring to the coin flip. The coin flip said take the Browns. So you know what? Out of protest for the anti-scientific flat earth nature of these two teams, that's not a Thomas Friedman reference, that's actual flat earth, in protest of their, they have tried to kill science time and time again, the way that they go about it, I'm flipping a coin. Coin says the Browns.
Yeah, Rams off a bye this week. I have a little bit of information later on in the program about how teams off a bye have performed this well. Hint, it's pretty well. I have written down here, Ricky, just to mirror what you just said, arguably the two most schizophrenic teams in the league. These are two teams to figure out. I'm not playing the side. I am interested in the total here a little bit. Not going to offer play, and I'll tell you why in a second, but Cleveland is the only team in the league right now to be 6-0 over. Very few people, I think, at the start of the season would have had Browns as the top team for overbetters, but here they are.
Right.
And the number's still the number's low here. The number's low again, as it was for Denver. And I know if you're looking to play the under, or if you're just, you know, someone who generally likes to play the under, which is, you know, the minority of bettors, but anyway, you'll note that if you factor out the defensive touchdowns last week against Denver, of which there was one per side, all right, that game still stays under. But, you know, the number's still too, the total's still too low for me to even give out the under, which I was kind of hoping for because the Browns are due for one, but they've been going way over some of these games. So no clue on that one, Ricky. No clue.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think this was going to be one you were going to take because, again, you and I have noted this about the Rams and the Browns in the past, that neither one ever does what they're supposed to do in any kind of a setting. Also on Sunday, as are the vast majority of these games, by the way, it's the I just thought I'd throw that in there. The Steelers are at the...
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's the way it's going this week. The Steelers are laying 2.5 at Kansas City, up from 3.5 at the opener, down from 3.5, rather. Although, again, as you pointed out to me, hard to get a line here on Tuesday as we're taping this because of the uncertainty of quarterback. My guess is Roethlisberger doesn't play because, you know, at this point, why would they? Because you look at what's happening to Dallas, that's what's supposed to be happening to them right now, and they're finding a way to muddle through anyways, even without them. Some of my reasoning is not always going to be, you know, as scientific as I try to make it other weeks because I hate this card so much. Like, what would be one of my biggest head-scratcher games of the week here? You know, because so many anti-scientific things happened last week. Why not Kansas City over Pittsburgh? You know, it's, you know, they just, you know, Pittsburgh's been winning too many games without Roethlisberger. Kansas City, at least defensively, I mean, they're not underachievers to the extent that the Browns are defensively, but they're due to look better than they have. Give me the Chiefs. This is just a head-scratcher, but again, that's something where if it happened, you know, and I was on the Steelers, I would be berating these two teams for not living up to the science here. So anticipating ahead of time there will be some games like that this week, give me this as one of them, Chiefs to cover.
Yeah, you know, here's what's interesting. Though, you know, the 2.5, I think one book had it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll wait and confirm to find out what the actual line is, obviously. But here's the thing. I'm recommending the Chiefs. No matter what the line is.
Oh, okay.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Pittsburgh has been outgained the last two games, both wins, kind of severely in both games by both San Diego and Arizona. Turnovers were the story last week at home against the Cardinals. They were, and, you know, San Diego, they gave up all those yards to Phillip Rivers. You're telling me that Landry Jones is going to be a road favorite in this league? I know the Chiefs have been struggling, man, but that's a tough pill for me to swallow, that Landry Jones is going to be a road favorite. Now, if Roethlisberger does, in fact, find his way into the field, what would happen then is the public will inevitably fall in love with the Steelers and bet the number way up, and I think there will be some real good value then, actually, on the Chiefs at home.
Exactly.
The Chiefs, by the way, the Chiefs 1-5 overall have failed to cover now 5 straight weeks, but remember I was telling you about the total yardage situation that I've been monitoring. They're actually even when it comes to total yardage in games this year. They've outgained opponents in 3 games, been outgained in 3 games. So they've played better than their record. The defense has sort of gotten back on track the last 2 weeks, albeit against weaker offenses, Chicago, and then last week Minnesota. Pittsburgh's got a really good offense, but I'm not going to be coronating Landry Jones just yet. So Chiefs, first recommendation of the week.
Exactly, and great point about Landry Jones, too. When a guy is coming in off the bench and teams don't have a lot of tape on a guy, okay, even the biggest stiffs can get lucky from time to time. Hello, maybe you've heard of Kelly Holcomb. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have a week to prepare for Landry Jones if indeed he is in there, and I agree with you. If Ben plays, that just means you're getting more points, so I think you win either way. Up next, it is Houston at Miami. The Dolphins are laying 4.5 in this one, up from 3 initially. And, you know, I know there are a lot of, you know, folks out there, a lot of people who like to rain on parades and like to say there's no such thing as momentum in football. But I disagree.
I say
the Dolphins clearly have it. The Dolphins clearly have it. You see what they did to Tennessee last week. Houston, I think you would agree with me, it's just a bunch of muddling around guys with their thumbs up their ass. Even when they win, they don't look impressive. This defense isn't as good as it should be. The offense, well, it sucks no matter who's a quarterback. Miami's on an upswing right now. I think they keep the momentum going at home here. Give me the Dolphins laying the 4 against a very, very downtrodden Houston Texans team right now.
You know, allow me to rain on your parade a little bit.
I knew you would.
Your boy Dan Columbia, or whatever his name is, okay?
Dan Cantrell.
Dan who? Dan what?
Dan.
Look, they did look good. That was the first game all year. That was their best game all year. But it was also off the bye after a coaching change. You know, I'm not going to tip my cap necessarily to the Dolphins. But I'll give them a little credit for the fact that if there was a time to fire Joe Philbin, it was during the bye week and before you play Tennessee and then now Houston, who you rather astutely pointed out isn't very good. I do think, and I know you disagree with this, Brian Hoyer has played better than Ryan Mallett this year. I think the stats would agree, would bear that out and agree with me. And Houston actually, now, this is where I say total yardage can be a little misleading sometimes. Houston's actually outgained their opponents in 4 of 6 games, but that includes a lot of garbage time against Kansas, both Kansas City and Atlanta, 2 games where they fell down early. So that's right. A little misleading. Value's gone here on Miami. The early money came in on them, took them up above the field goal, and I'm just not interested anymore in laying points with Miami. It remains to be seen if they're – I don't believe in momentum at all, and it remains to be seen if this team is truly going to do anything or if it was just a one-week Tennessee Titans team that, like the rest of the AFC South, is not very good.
I got to take my hat off to the Fish, my 1A team. You know, they didn't play dirty, Kyle Ross, but they walked that line. They walked that sign edge.
Yeah, injuring Marcus Mariota. What a bunch of nonsense that was.
That was truly outstanding. Up next here, we have a very interesting game here in the NFC North. You have Detroit at home against Minnesota. The Vikes are the road favorite here. They are laying 2.5, had been 3 initially, so there's been some fluctuation in that range. The Lions got one of their token wins of the season out of the way last week here. This will not be another one of them. You know me. I'm on the Vikings this year. I had said that they are either a playoff team or a borderline team to miss the playoffs, and they're on
you said they were a playoff team. Don't you back away.
Okay, well, all right. I'm not going to backtrack. You're a playoff team. But and I said at the beginning of the year, potentially a dark horse Super Bowl team. Now, they're not living up to that so far, and Teddy Bridgewater is still showing some growing pains here. But in this spot, this is almost a why ask why as far as why they're not laying more to the downtrodden Lions, unless the mouth breathers in the public are that impressed by them finally getting off the schneid last week. Give me the Vikings laying the 2.5 on the road.
You know what I blame for my first losing week last week? You know what I blame?
What?
Those articles I wrote for you in the site. Because what? Work with me here. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
You know what sometimes can get you into trouble this time of year when it comes to betting is when you think you've got everything figured out, when you think you've got the whole season figured out. And, you know, I had a couple buddies, like, late Sunday. I was going back and forth with, oh, do you think this team's going to be a playoff team? And, you know, I'm not a fun guy to text that to because I'll always text you back, you know, I don't know. Unless if you tell me, you know, I think New England's going to win the East. Well, yeah, you're probably right. You know, I'll give you that. But, and I bring that up because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were all saying that the Chicago Bears were, like, the worst team ever. And
right.
It turns out that, you know, they're not very good, but they're not the worst team ever. And Detroit, who has looked, you know, at times putrid this year, they've lost to the Vikings, oh, by the way, I believe back in week 2 it was. They haven't looked good either at times. But, you know, they did break loose at home last week, scored 37 points. I'm not nearly as big a fan of Minnesota as you are. They don't score a ton of points. They're 0-3 on the road. So where am I going here, Rick Morris? I will take the points, and there's still 3 available with Detroit if you want them, folks. Minnesota been outgained in 4 of 5 games this year. I will take the Lions as the second recommendation.
And not ask the why ask why where I would have taken them if I went that way. Wow, you're picking them in a non-ironic way, Kyle Ross. Hats off to you for your guts.
Yes, well. Well, I'll get back to you and see how that paid off next week, to be honest. It was more, might be more guts than brains.
Well, we'll see. By the way, those columns, same place you find the show, same place you find the weekly power rankings for FDH, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. Excellent insight from Kyle Ross at the quarter poll, and still timely as we continue to go along here. Up next,
yeah, I would disregard it. I would disregard it at this point, especially the parts on Kansas City and Baltimore having bounce backs coming up. Don't read that at all. Don't, please.
Well, yeah. There you go. Up next here, the border war here, the SEC-esque game here with the Falcons going to Tennessee. They are laying 3.5 points on the road here in Nashville. And, again, the downward spiral sort of continues for Tennessee after an initial start to the season that was a little bit encouraging. Perhaps you saw the same thing happen in 2014. But, you know, for the Falcons, again, almost a why ask why as to why they're not laying more than 3.5 in this spot. Having said that, I'm on them. I think, again, the Falcons are a team not quite as good as their record. They've been the beneficiary of a favorable schedule to this point, but, I mean, they're a lot better than the Chodes they're going to be facing on Sunday. I have told you that I do not subscribe to the notion that Tennessee was underachievers last year. I think they have a ways to go in terms of rebuilding the talent on this team. And I'm a big Coach Wiz guy, but the reality is Dan Quinn's getting a lot more out of what he's got right now than Coach Wiz is. Give me the Falcons laying the 3.5.
Well, you know, I pointed out in that article, by the way, that we talked about that column. Dan Quinn inherited a top 10 quarterback, by the way, against
right.
In Atlanta. So that helps. I've got conflicting signals on this game, Rick Morris. The Titans have only been outgained once this year, and it was last week in a real poor effort. They lost Mariota to injury. I cannot back them here in this spot. Not only are they 3-24 straight up as a dog the last three seasons, but it looks like it's going to be Zach Mettenberger under center, and he's on back. Well, he was terrible last year, and I'm not expecting much at all from him. But Atlanta, like you said, you know, not, you know, a dominant team, not a dominant 5-1.
Right.
They're 3-7 straight up and against the number off a division game as well. So I'm passing here. This is an easy pass.
Okay.
And I do expect, by the way, that 3.5 will go up throughout the week as word of Zach Mettenberger's presence spreads.
You would have to think so. I would agree with that one. Up next here, the Washington Redskins. They are laying 3.5 up from 4 initially. They're at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is a game where, as I look at it, I was sort of peering inside the numbers here, and again, had noted that a few times previously this year that Washington's defense, at least statistically, better than they've been the last couple of years, a little better than we've expected them to be. For whatever off-the-field issues there may be, as I forecast, Scott McClellan is a big hit as general manager of the team. And the rebuilding of that thing should go very well over the medium term. However, Tampa Bay, also with an improved defense, at least statistically this year, in terms of yards given up. And I went back and forth here and thought, you know, one of the major things that people have against believing in a team like Tampa Bay in this spot is the rookie quarterback. You know, Who's potentially more error-prone than a rookie quarterback? That's right, Kirk Cousins. So give me Jameis Winston and Tampa Bay getting the 3.5. That way, if they lose by a field goal, I still cover. So I'll take the Bucs on this one.
I kind of want to, too, especially because teams coming off a bye, I promised it for you, and here we go. Teams off a bye this year, 6-0 against the number. All four last
Ooh.
Week, though, favored.
Uh-huh.
All four last week were favored. So that's in Tampa Bay, obviously, the Bucs. When you have two kind of bad teams like this, you want to take the points. You know, I was a member of kind of a big believer in Tampa Bay at the start of the year. I've kind of backtracked off that rather quickly. And I'm going to backtrack off them here and just sit this one out. If Tampa Bay covers and or wins straight up, I'll kick myself. But I'm going to run that risk. Washington, you know, Washington's kind of hard to figure out. Cousins predictably came back down to earth. He was awful last week. Again, though, you know me, I kind of like to play against Cousins when he's off a good game, not when he's off his usual fare. So, sitting this one out.
Right. Well, what's interesting is you look at the makeup of the next game. You talk about wanting to take the dog or being inclined to when you're looking at two bad teams. I think in this rematch of a Super Bowl from a couple of years ago, we're looking at two teams that are maybe only about, you know, two or three minute steps above that at this point. You've got Indianapolis at home coming off the emotional Sunday nighter against New Orleans. The Colts are laying 4.5 in this one at this point. It had been 5.5 initially. And, again, I don't know that I was necessarily going towards that whole thought here in terms of bad teams take the dog. But, you know, I guess that's close enough to where I am at this point. Neither team is among the absolute dregs of the league this week. But neither of them is that impressive either. Both of them have a lot of holes. Both of them have real subpar work being done by their general managers vis-a-vis the salary cap. Give me the Saints getting the 4.5 on the road here because I just don't trust the Colts coming off that Sunday nighter. I think it could be a letdown. And I think they're sort of going to be this year's Falcons as far as what the Falcons did last year. Don't hardly win anything outside your division. That's what the Colts look like to me.
Well, to follow up on that, Ricky, they're 0-3 against non-AFC South foes this season.
That's right.
And
they're on their way.
10-13 in such games the last 3 years. You know, they were only, even in their division winning years, they were only .500 the last 2 years. In such games.
So
they swept the division slate both times. I mean,
right.
Indy, we've talked about it, and I warned myself on that previous show. I said, wouldn't it be interesting if this is the year the Colts underperform expectations when I'll call for them to get the top seed and go to the Super Bowl? Already backed off that one, folks. And they have, you know, because Indy is just very fortunate that they sucked the year that Andrew Luck was number one in the draft, and they're fortunate they play in a terrible division where the other three teams, you know, can't get out of their own way. That said, they'll probably win here, but I wouldn't want to lay the points. They are the only team, that being Indianapolis, that has been outgained in every game this year. That's not pretty.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, too, about the Colts. It's funny because I was just a year off on this. Now, last year, I didn't pick them to win the division. I picked Houston at 8-8, but I thought they would take it in a tiebreaker with the Colts at 8-8. And I said, I think this is the year they stubbed their toe and whatever. That's funny. It came a year later. We all knew there was going to be a year in the middle of this great run that they're having where that's going to happen, and they'll probably recover from that with a new general manager who doesn't suck. They'll get back up to the top again. But, yeah, this is their nadir, Kyle Ross, and the Andrew Luck
era. Well, they're probably going to still win the division. I mean, they're still going to win the division this year. I mean,
Their nadir year, they will. That's what's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, tell me another team that's going to win more than six games in that division. I don't see one. So,
yeah.
I mean, Indy, to me, unless if Luck were to get injured, knock on wood, heaven forbid, they're probably going to be the number four seed at, like, 8-8 or 9-7. That's what it looks to me.
Yep.
And New Orleans,
yep,
you're kind of right with them, too. I mean, they're not – I think the bottom has not yet dropped and is not prepared to drop maybe until next year, but they're kind of, below-ish .500 team is sort of their makeup right now. I mean, they're 2-4. I mean, so obviously they are below-ish .500. And that's kind of how they'll play, I think, most of the year. They're probably like a 7-9, maybe even 8-8 kind of team. But their ceiling is nowhere near where it once was.
I agree with that. Neither one of these teams has a high ceiling at this point. That Super Bowl from a few years ago seems so long ago for both, I think, right now. Up next, a wild and woolly NFC East battle, as they always are, regardless of the two teams you're talking about. But here, it's Dallas at the New York Giants. The Giants are laying 3.5 in this one, had been 4 at the open, up to 5.5 at one point. It's been bouncing around. Dallas making a quarterback change here, going to Matt Castle. Like, that's really going to matter very much. For a schizophrenic team like the Giants, you know, it's almost one of these things. You talked about that before in terms of whether you want to be on Kirk Cousins or off, generally off of him, but depending on what he did the week before. Coming off of a week of bad Eli, give me the Giants this week, so I think good Eli is going to be back. It's not like this Cowboy defense has been blowing anybody away this year, so give me the Giants in a get-well game after the tough Monday nighter. I like them to cover the 3.5.
Dallas off a bye. Remember what we said about bye week teams, 6-0 against teams coming off a bye, or 6-0 against the spread this year, but they were all favored last week. I'm with you. The Matt Castle thing does nothing for me. I mean, I'm not even sure he's much of an improvement over Brandon Whedon, quite frankly. Matt Castle, aside from that one kind of quote-unquote magical year he had with New England, where they didn't make the playoffs, by the way, has never shown me anything since he's left the Bill Belichick umbrella. So don't like Dallas. Would love to endorse the Giants, but they've been outgained in every game but one this year. So I'm a little leery about laying the points, especially on a short week. They will win the game straight up, though. I'll say that. They're going to win the game straight up. They're due to start winning a few close games after the way last year went, the way this year started. Couple streaks on the line here. Dallas has won the last five meetings straight up, including really stealing one in week one. Remember that when the Giants mismanaged the clock and let them go down the field? Also, the over 6-0 the last six meetings between these teams. If you're a totals player, take note of that. But I will not make a play here.
Very interesting. And, it's funny, too, about some of the criticism that was kind of, again, I'm a Browns fan. I've seen more of Brandon Weeden playing quarterback than anybody ever should. But I think Jerry Jones even kind of joined in on this. Like, well, he's just doing the safe stuff, whatever. You know something? There should be a Nobel Prize of some sort given to the Cowboys coaching staff if they get Brandon Weeden in any way not to suck. I mean, to complain that they haven't made him an asset, like, what are you talking about here? Have you seen this Brandon Weeden? I mean, all he's going to do is give you the safe stuff that doesn't help you really win or make a difference positively. But if he's not making a difference negatively, give a gold medal with coaching staff, Kyle Ross.
They also played, if I remember, Atlanta and New England.
Yeah.
With Weeden. I mean, those aren't gimme games, needless to say.
No.
I mean, quite frankly, I mean, they were lucky they were even in either of them, so...
That's right.
Matt Castle is that's you're grasping at straws with Matt Castle, in my opinion.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we've already seen the sell-by date on his act. Up next, you've got Carolina hosting Philadelphia. The Panthers are laying 3 in this one, up from 2.5 initially. And again, I told you this is a rough week, and I am struggling for rationales in the majority of these games. In this one here, I'm just going to defer to Carolina's obviously got to lose some at some point. They have, again, a pretty easy schedule on the whole. You look at the teams that, again, on paper can beat them. And Philadelphia, after being given up for dead by a number of people, including myself a couple of weeks ago, again, there's that word again, have some momentum. So give me the Eagles getting the 3 on the road here at the Bank of America Stadium.
This one has even crossed the old key number of 3 in some spots, and it's 3.5 the time we've started this show here. I'm slashing 3.5 in a lot of places on my screen, and I'm taking the Eagles here. This is a recommendation for me. I'm with you. Carolina's got to lose, and I think this is a great chance to sell high on them after they really shocked the world by going into Seattle and winning. You know, just when everyone is anointing a team is oftentimes when you want to look to go against them. And he can give you more than a field goal with what you said is kind of an Eagles team that's sort of found its way. I'll take it. Thank you. Eagles.
Well, that's a good pick. Obviously, I agree with it. Up next here, the Monday Nighter. I'm sure this looked to be very intriguing on paper before the season started. It's the Baltimore Ravens at the Arizona Cardinals. The Ravens are getting 7.5 up from 6.5 initially. And again, what I'm going to say is contradicted perhaps a little bit by the fact that I dropped the Ravens a full 12 points in my power rankings this week. I think 16-28 is where I went on them. So I have been a late bummer to realizing that, yes, the Ravens stink right now. But as I look at this again, in a week where I'm struggling for rationales on most games, and I'm maybe having to go with some more primitive things than I generally would, I keep coming back to this whole thing we've talked about previously on the show. What would we would have thought the line on this would have been before the season? So,
7.5.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm unsure that, you know, this might have been hovering around a push perhaps, even with Baltimore being on the road. So in looking at it, I can't help but think there's some value. It at least allows Baltimore the backdoor cover at 7.5. It may take that, but given how shoddy they've been, but give me the Ravens and the 7.5 in this spot.
Same here. Recommendation, Ravens. I think that a lot of people are probably doing what you did this week with power rankings and dropping them precipitously. I can't blame you. I mean, losing like they did to the Niners last week is embarrassing. But it's also a good time to buy low. Now, granted, I said this last week when they went into San Francisco as a very slight favorite and was made to look like a fool there. But, you know, if you fail once, why not try and do it all again? So I'm going to go with the Ravens here. And if you give me 2 seconds, I'll tell you what the preseason line was here, because I actually have that information available. And you talking
that would
about
be interesting.
That,
okay.
And you talking about that really interested me. It was Arizona minus 2 was the preseason line.
I was going to guess 1. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Ooh,
so, yeah.
Okay.
So, a lot of value here with the Ravens because of the slow start. And, again, every game's been close with them. They have not lost by more than 6 points. So, odds makers here calling for something that has not happened yet this year.
Both. Exactly. Yeah, that's always curious when that happens. Up next, my big three, as previously stated, 11-7 thus far on the season. And up first, it's a battle in the AFC East. It's the Patriots at home laying 9 to the New York Jets. And this is my first Why Ask Why special of the year. Now, you pointed out to me off air, it took a little bit of steam out of my balloon here in terms of why you thought the line maybe made a little bit more sense and wasn't so absurd as to go the other way like I'm doing. But generally speaking, when I find a line that diverges from reality this much, again, as I've said previously on the show, that old beer commercial slogan, why ask why? Because sometimes the biggest mistake you can ever make is to look at a line and be like, oh, my God, there's such immense value here. Everybody out there is so stupid. Oh, I can't believe I'm getting this gift. That's right when you take it in the old puckus, ladies and gentlemen, is when you have that level of certainty. I just go the other way. I can't say that I necessarily have a reason for why it works, but lifetime, I think I'm over 500 going this way, so I'm going to do it again. Give me the Patriots laying the 9 in a spot that makes no sense to me whatsoever, given how good the Jets have been.
The key here, and what I did tell you off air, what you're referring to, is the public just loves the Patriots. They were huge favorites on the road each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, kind of in a territory where you don't see many teams favored by that many points on the road. Now, they were going up against a downtrodden Dallas team with the aforementioned Brandon Whedon under center. So that made sense, even though Dallas is one of the more public teams in the league, obviously. And they rewarded their backers there by covering. Last week, they did not reward their covers. They were a very traditional backdoor situation where the Colts scored in the final 90 seconds to get within the number. And I'm not shocked at this line like you were. Like, there are lines that shock me. This was not one of them. I just happen to think the Jets are really good and there is value, and they're the only team in the league who's outgained every opponent this year. They really dominated Washington last week. I know that doesn't mean much in many circles, but they were down actually at the half, even though they had huge statistical edges. That played out accordingly in the second half, and I'm all on the Jets this week. I really like them, plus the points. They have covered the last 4 times they have played New England, by the way, always as an underdog.
Very interesting. We'll have to see how the history relates to the game this time around, but the first game in the era of Belichick v. Todd Bowles, so we'll have to see how that goes. For my second pick of the big three this week, it's San Diego at home laying 4 to Oakland. And again, this goes to the macro level. Again, I am not willing to give up altogether on San Diego as at least a playoff team for this year. Maybe not the Super Bowl contender that I pegged them for at the beginning of the year, stealth Super Bowl entrant, but again, they've been overdue to break through. I was not among those that were surprised by the hellacious effort that they gave at Green Bay last week. I had them not as a recommended pick, probably should have been, but I like them a lot to cover. They did. San Diego's got a lot more life in them than what the record indicates at this point. They have been somehow or another getting past all the difficulties of all the injuries they've suffered on this offensive line. Oakland has been better than people think, which is, I think, the main reason that this line's as close as it is. But nevertheless, give me San Diego laying the 4. I think this may be the start of the San Diego Charger turnaround this week.
I'm not going to go that far, but I am with you. And my sixth and final recommendation this week is the San Diego Chargers. I believe the only favorite I will be taking this week. This line preseason was -8, so we are getting some value here with Chargers. And to your point about how they have been playing better than their record, that is accurate. They have outgained 5 of 6 opponents, so you would think that their record would be better. That includes the last 2 games they've outgained opponents where they have lost both times. You know, going into Green Bay and winning is very tough to do, so no shame losing there. Phillip Rivers is carrying this team. That's kind of my concern long-term, that beyond him, there's not much to get excited about, at least in my eyes. If you take Phillip Rivers off this team, I don't know where they go. But, yeah, I think they take the Raiders to the old woodshed here this week. Even though Oakland's off a bye, you know, again, I'm not quite sure how good Oakland is, if they're good at all. So, San Diego swept them last year. 2 close games last year was. It was to Oakland, covered both meetings, but lost both last year. This one, I think, won't be quite as close because I'll tell you this, Oakland was not only getting 4 points in either meeting in 2014.
Yep, totes agree. And I have to tell you as well, on that, I think as a still optimistic Melvin Gordon fantasy owner, I think there's going to be some progression to the mean. Yeah, but I'm expecting better times.
He was awful last week.
He was, but I'm expecting better days ahead, and that's going to correlate to better things ahead for the San Diego Superchargers. Up next, my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 7. It's, believe it or not, the London game to be telecast on Yahoo. I understand it's going to be with CBS television personnel, but available on Yahoo worldwide. And the Shiznit sandwich that we are giving. Pardon?
Is it on TV too?
No. It's Yahoo only. This is the NFL is doing a stream experiment here, so.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so the CBS personnel, I believe, are participating and broadcasting and whatever. But, the Shiznit sandwich we are giving the rest of the world on the Internet and the fine folks of London, and, of course, you know, we have a few friends over in the U.K., are the Bills and the Jags. You're welcome, people. That's what we're giving you. But this is a game where the Bills are laying 5 up from 4.5 initially. My unified theory of the Bills, I should have gone by it last week. I shouldn't have been on the Bills against the Bengals. Unified theory is if you're overrated or you suck, the bully Bills will punch you in the mouth. If you have any kind of a pulse, not so much. The Jaguars suck. Hence, give me the Bills going away, covering the 5.
I don't play the London games on principle. I think I'm still kind of waiting until there's more of them so I can start handicapping them, finding some dynamics involved. I know from watching Miami earlier this year, prior experience in such games is vastly overrated. And Jacksonville's been over there a couple times and I think gotten crushed every time. The thing with Buffalo is obviously you want to see about the quarterback situation. I kind of made the mistake of disregarding Tyrod Taylor's absence in favor of E.J. Manuel last week and got burnt. They were not very good last week. They have followed a pattern, though, this year of win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. So, obviously, it would be time for them to win. And in a league that always keeps you guessing, if there is one constant, it is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are not very good. But I will refrain from playing this one.
Okay. And, again, some of the win, lose has been, of course, based as far as whether they've got a team they can bully or a team that'll stand up to them. But
It has. I mean, if you look at the 3 teams they've lost to and the 3 teams they've beaten, you know, it's not really a surprise. I mean, they've lost to the 3 best teams they've played. They've beaten the 3 crappy ones they have. So, yeah, it all plays out.
Very, very predictable. That's my lock pick is Buffalo. My big 3 also includes New England and San Diego. San Diego overlaps with one of Kyle's recommendations also for him, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Kansas City. Another great show in the books, my friend. Looking forward to watching the games of Week 7 here and breaking down Week 8 with you next week.
Don't forget about the Jets. Did you say the Jets? That was the 6th.
The Jets.
I have the Jets.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's not forget.
Jets. A team that could be my Jets fairly soon, as long as they keep playing well.
Could be. And you being on them is a good sign. We'll see how it goes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to FDH Lounge mini episode number 621.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.